Off the Ball, GAA.
Yeah, it was a very high scoring game. I suppose we were seeing a lot of war from Division 1A this year, and we know that they were playing a level above us. And I suppose the first half was even, but we know they're a serious side.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
And that's the difference. It's the same in every tournament, but it's exacerbated by the golf course at Augusta. It's just the margin for error is so small and the potential for disaster is never very far away.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Yeah, the tunes are coming in on YouTube. Keep them coming. We'll get to as many as possible. Right now, turning your attention to Robbie with Key Tracy, myself, Alan Quinnan's live on the line, and Dara Smith. Nothing, gents. Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Dara, looking cool. Cat backwards.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. I won't lie, lads. I'm having a good time. Sunny Clare, mom.
Yeah.
I'm also wearing shorts, but I'm actually quite cold. It's. I did this. I was in Portugal earlier this year, and I kind of just assume it's sunny all year round in France and Portugal, those type of countries. It's actually quite cold. So. Let's get a move on here, lads. I'm absolutely freezing.
Yeah, no, we will take our time. Looking quite nice with the fashion here. Alan Quinnan looking very golf presidential, dare I say. And they're on the other side of it, finding himself across Europe. Ireland will find themselves in a tasty encounter with France tomorrow, Dara.
Yeah, exactly. This is a massive game for Ireland. I suppose over the last couple of fixtures between these sides, Ireland have been left heartbroken. Particularly that last outing at the World Cup. Has been built up as a bit of a revenge game, which the players have shot down this week, but very much can be thought of as that, because obviously in that World Cup game finished, there was only a try between the teams, but a couple of decisions went against Ireland. Obviously there's the infamous incident between Aoife Wafer and Bartholomew, the French back row, where she allegedly bit her at the bottom of a rook. So yeah, there's plenty to settle in this one.
Quinny, how are you feeling ahead of this one?
I think you've... I think Scott Beaman spoke about the gap being closing a little bit during the week, and they're not really focusing on that. But I think, look, everybody who's been watching the Irish rugby team the last couple of years has seen improvement. There's excitement around this current group, the depth in even coming off the bench. Getting Aaron King back from her long-term injury, Dorothy Wall back, who starts tomorrow. There's only one change. I think they have a really good chance. Obviously, France, same as their men's teams, you know, if they get their confidence up and they get their flow into their game, they can be extremely dangerous. So I'd always be nervous, again, if I was a player here. I was a little bit surprised, Stacey Flood saying they should be worried. I think you don't want to give any sort of motivation or edge to this French team if they're listening into anything that's been said in the press conferences during the week. But the reality is Ireland have a really good chance here, and you never know. You've got to perform, Cullum. It doesn't matter if the stats and the results show that there's improvement there. For any team ever going to France, if you're not right and you're not aggressive and you don't bring the right kind of tempo and attitude, particularly at the start of the game, you could have big problems. The flip side of that is if you can frustrate any French team and settle in away from home and start to do the simple things well, not over complicate things, they've a really good chance, because I think what's been developed in this team is their physical presence, their accuracy around the breakdown, their defensive setup and speed and connectivity has been much better. And look, it's I think they've had issues around their set piece at times, which has really hampered them. So they've got to get that right tomorrow. And the recent results against France have been good. Dara mentioned there the World Cup and how close that was. And, you know, Ireland could have won that game. But it just goes to show, even when a team are probably not playing their best, they can still find ways to win. And France did. It was controversial with the what should have been a sighting, and it would have obviously helped Ireland. But, you know, even you go back to the Six Nations game last year in Belfast, Ireland had opportunities. Dan O'Brien missed a good few kicks, and one or two frustrating defensive errors cost them a little bit. So the reality here, Cullum, is they've got to go to France and really, really limit their mistakes and get a top performance out of them. So I'm excited for them to do that, but always nervous when you go to France for any team at any level. It's you certainly can't kind of go in with any sort of an attitude that that danger isn't there. So in other words, if you need a fear factor. So I hope they have a little bit of a fear factor in there, and that can drive them on as well. But it's a very good Irish team, and it's a settled Irish team now, and there's good options off the bench.
Scott Beaman, the Ireland head coach, was speaking ahead of this game, says, "I saw a completely different group to 2 years ago walking into that space. So as we continue to evolve, continue to get more confident in ourselves and our performances, I think we're ready for this one." You mentioned yourself there, Quinny, only one change from that comprehensive victory against Italy. How much of that performance can they actually take into this France game? Because you imagine, Quinny, it's going to be a completely different encounter. Because let's be fair here, the Italians were largely poor last week in Galway.
Yeah, it's confidence, really. not any sort of cockiness that it's going to be, you know, we've come to this level now and it's all falling into place, and we can create scores, and we don't have to, you know, really stress ourselves too much. And they didn't have to stress themselves too much last week. I think in games like that, Cullum, you've got to look at what you can be better at, and some of the defensive mistakes that they probably made for the Italian tries. And that's nitpicking, you know, but that's what sport is about. You've got to find ways of, it's a completely different opponent this week. You know, you can't make defensive errors like they did last week and be a little bit soft and switch off, because France will go the length of the field and score and punish you. So I think that's what they've got to focus on. And just, there's a little bit of an edge to them. There's a little bit of a physical edge, which is good. And that's probably where they've come up short in the last few years, aside from, you know, making errors. But I mean, just that physical presence. Rugby's a physical game, just being able to mix it and make those hits, and when they carry that, you know, their accuracy first of all at the breakdown, and then there's a physical presence there. But, you know, I think Aoife Wafer and Aaron King, Aoife Wafer got number of tries last week. She was very prominent, so was Aaron King. But I think the English game, they were, you know, feeling their way back into it and getting the pace and tempo of international rugby. They need big games. They are big players, you know. Dorothy Wall coming back in, she's got to be really, really, you know, prominent. Cliona Maloney, McDonald making carries, you know, getting her line out right. And France, traditionally, and the last number of years, their set piece has been very strong, Maul and Scrum. So there's a number of things they've got to get right, and this team has improved a lot, and we have to give them kudos for that. But it's a big test tomorrow, and it doesn't sit comfortably with me, Cullum, and maybe it's just a glass half empty type mentality that's sometimes helped me, sometimes didn't help me when I played. But you have to have that little bit of fear, because even though I think, and the evidence is there, that the gap has closed a little bit, but you've got to be brave as well, and you've got to believe that, yes, we can deal with this pressure, we can deal with this environment, and we can perform in the south of France, which is something that's really exciting for the team.
Dara, do you think that the players' expectation this week, heading into this match against France, is much different to before a ball was thrown in this tournament? And by that I mean, have the two games so far to date gone as what you had expected they would, which was a defeat to England and a victory against Italy? Now, maybe the manners of those, if that defeat and the subsequent win, is slightly different to what you expected. But I wonder where their heads are now versus the start of the tournament.
I'd say they're around about the same place as they were, to be honest, because, you know, speaking to a few players going into the Six Nations, whether it be in press conferences or just after press conferences and around the place, they get the feeling of them that they're really targeted in this game. They really, really fancy themselves. It seems that this week they're maybe been told to not say as much because they've been talking a lot, but no, I think they absolutely have earmarked this fixture from the get-go. And like, look, Quinny mentioned a lot of our strengths there as well. Another one is the depth that they've built in the squad now. It's something we've never really had, or certainly haven't had over the last few years, is options off the bench. Like a player like Anna McGann, if you had asked me, would Anna McGann 3 games in the tournament hasn't started a game, I wouldn't have believed you, because she's one of our best back three options and she's coming off the bench in this game. As is Eve Higgins, who I would have thought was an absolute cert starter in the midfield as well. So we have options around the place. We've depth, even on the other side of the wing as well, with Bafin coming back into the team. And in that forward pack as well, Niamh Jones has often been a starter for Ireland over the last couple of seasons. But Fiona Maloney McDonald as well has come back into form with Exeter as well. So that's something that we haven't really had in the last while. And to be honest, this is a really, really big chance. We've never won in France. And it's obviously, even for the might of an English team, it took them 8 years to get a win in France. So I think this is as good a chance as any. It's a great time to play them as well. 3 games into the tournament. As Quinny was saying, players that are coming back from injury, like Aaron King, are kind of warmed up now. They're back into the groove of things. And I really, really think this is a big day, or tomorrow could be a really, really big day for Irish rugby, should they go out and execute.
Yeah. What's going to happen, Darren?
I'm always optimistic when it comes to Ireland in any sport. But genuinely, if I was a neutral in this, I actually think Ireland will get a win here, and a star one. Be very tight. I think you'll see a very similar game to the last couple of meetings. It'll go right down to the wire. It's just about that last 20 minutes and staying in the fight. I think we'll get it done.
Okay. 8:10 Irish time. This starts tomorrow. France against Ireland. 9:10 Dara's time. What's the plan between now and then, Dara?
So we have a captain's run in about an hour and a half time in the stadium behind me. And then the rest of the day, there's a couple of bits I'm working on content-wise. So you may see those over the next couple of days on Off the Ball's social channels. And then, yeah, just taking the city. I've never been to Clermont. It was funny. I was coming in from Charles de Gaulle last night, and I was wearing a Ford hoodie that had Goodyear on it. Mm-hmm. And I was told I wouldn't be allowed into Clermont with that on, because obviously Michelin is a product of Clermont. And I'm actually standing beside the HQ here. So maybe I might go in there and have a look, do the tour.
Yeah, wear the Rangers jersey to their Celtic. Yeah, wear your Goodyear and see what they do. See if they welcome.
Exactly, yeah.
What's your experience of Clermont, Quinny?
We never won there, but we got 2 losing bonus points for Munster when Clermont were very, very strong, and we went head to head in loads of games. We beat them a lot in Thomond Park, and they beat us, I think it was twice over there. Munster had a great win, a number maybe 17 or 18 over in Clermont. It was a historic win under Johan van Graan. But yeah, we always found it an incredible stadium. The stands are so close, and the terracing and the seating areas are so close. It's really compact ground. It's a great stadium. And we felt like we got 2 great results there back in 07-08 season. And those losing bonus points, very tight matches. We could have won both of them, but it's a great stadium. It's a brilliant stadium. Mm.
You mentioned Munster there. Speaking of one change, it's just one as well for Munster. Ollie Yeager in for Michael Alabatoa, of course. It's the latest Interpro Derby in the URC tomorrow evening, 5:30, kickoff between Munster and Ulster. Quinny, this is a huge game for both sides, but we'll start with Munster here. Look, it's still a tumultuous period for them, like the back of the Irish Independence this morning. McMillan, we will learn from Randall controversy. He was asked about it again, Quinny. He kind of doubled down on last week's comments, but says there are learnings in this for Munster. You spoke passionately about this topic last week in studio. Since then, Munster had a very good victory, of course. last weekend, but they find themselves in a real funny place at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, but in a better place after getting a result in Benetton last week, getting a bonus point win, probably one of their, not their most flamboyant or exciting wins, but I liked a lot about the performance, the work rate and the aggression and you know, the accuracy of the game. Munster kicked a lot, but they kicked really intelligently and they put pressure on Benetton in the backfield. So, yeah, there's been a lot going on, and it's been difficult for players, and not surprisingly, you know, I think there will be some statements and probably it will be addressed a little bit more from people within Munster, and we'll probably hear more news on that. It's not gone away after this game, or maybe might be a couple of weeks until the URC kind of fixtures are finished. Yeah, it's been very distracting and it's been a lot of people talking about it, but the players this week, they just need to try and back up a performance. If you look back at all the fixtures, bar the first five games that were very positive, I don't think there's been any 2 weeks in a row or two games in a row where Munster have had really good performances. And that's, you know, that's leaving aside the first five where they won, they had a really good start. Since that Stormers game, you know, in round six, it's been, you know, disappointing loss, couple of losses, a win, back to bad performance, loss again. So it's been very, 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 very poor since that period. So we haven't got the Ulster team yet, but we've seen the list of injuries. Yeah. They're bereft of a load of players. So it's going to be very, very difficult for Ulster. And they've got the Challenge Cup semi-final next weekend. And it's strange because a few weeks ago, you would have thought Ulster would comfortably have a home quarter-final and everything was going really, really well for them. And I think the injuries have, the loss to Leinster last week was a really tough one, particularly with Angus Bell and Tom O'Toole and players like that they will need for that Challenge Cup run in. So it's an interesting one for Richie Murphy, I think. And Ulster fans, and maybe Dara has a view in this, would you take winning the Challenge Cup over top eight or you know, be playing in the knockout stages? Because it does guarantee you Europe. And I think that's the most important thing for the likes of Ulster, Munster and Connacht. It's a big situation to be in Europe and an important one.
Yeah, like, I'd certainly take the consequences of winning the Challenge Cup and, you know, getting into Europe, as you say. It just would be a massive disappointment and a little bit of a failure if Ulster failed to get into the playoffs, because obviously last year there was the same circumstance where they missed the playoffs. And, you know, I think there's just something about not getting to that stage where, are we making progress? Obviously, in the table, there is a jump, but... yeah, it's an interesting one. We talk about the injuries, and obviously the injuries have been absolutely detrimental over the last couple of games. It's a seriously long list, and in specific positions as well, the front row has been hit really hard, as has the midfield. But I think as well, going back to that Connacht game in Belfast, I think Lancaster and his coaching team have almost done up a bit of a blueprint to beat Ulster, and we're starting to see teams working off that and start to nullify that attack that we talk so much about this season, Mark Sexton's attack, which has been brilliant, but just the last few games I've noticed that they just haven't been able to get things going. Like that kind of 10-15 minute period against Leinster, they identified that there was a bit of a weakness maybe on the right-hand side of Leinster's defence. They went at that and they got some joy there, but overall, over the last few weeks, that attack hasn't really been flowing as well as it has been this season. So I'd be slightly concerned going into the next few games. And it's such a tough run of games for us. So like, obviously, Munster this weekend away, then you have the top two to play in Glasgow and Stormers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Does it get much tougher?
It's six.
Yeah, I think they will make the playoffs. I think the Stormers and Glasgow home games, the last two, even though they're difficult, they get results there. They get points there. But it's incredible that... you know, Leinster in third on 51 points, and you go to ninth, Connacht on 44. 7 points are separating between third and ninth in the league. So I wasn't suggesting that Ulster don't make it. I think any of the teams there, bar Leinster, they'll be in. But, I think the Lions, they're in 48. But Ulster, Munster, Cardiff and Bulls and Connacht, there's five players there. There's one team going to miss out there. And that's the reality. And you don't want to be that team that misses out.
What about Ulster's trip to Benetton, lads? Leinster's trip to Benetton. Leinster third in the URC. You can expect changes here to this 15, right? The one that will play in the Champions Cup semi-final. But they tend to do this, Leinster. It's just kind of, not quite phenomenon, but quirk that, Quinny. Oftentimes, you don't see Leinster's quote-unquote strongest team play together. They actually really don't assemble that often throughout a given season. And I wonder, is it beneficial for them to play as strong as possible a team against Benetton ahead of the semi-final?
For and against, Colm, if you need to get a performance and try and build a little bit more cohesion. Yes, traditionally we would have always done that when I played myself the week before the big game or the big quarterfinal or semi-final or whatever, that you would try and play the strongest team to get that unity and stuff like that. But this last Friday morning we were speaking about Leinster sent the team they were sending to Belfast and thought it was a little bit risky and that they needed wins and this was going to be a really difficult one against a strong Ulster side, but they produced a brilliant performance. And so you never know. I think we don't see them that often. Even in a lot of European games, you see maybe two or three guys play that you think that's not their strongest team, and they pull one or two internationals out of it, put them on the bench. I think going to Benetton, I think it'll be a lot of the players that played last week will be involved. I think they might filter back in, you know, a couple of the internationals and put a few more that played last week, bring them out of the 23, and then, obviously go as strong as they can next week. I think we'll see and know where they're at. You won't get a true reflection even if they played the full team this week. I think there's always a few little things that you'd hold back. And I've said this from the start of the season. I could be wrong. I think Leinster have a great chance of winning the Champions Cup. Obviously, you have two games to do that. But they've been, you know, we've probably spoken a lot about them all season that they're not the Leinster we were probably used to in the last four or five seasons, that you felt that it was theirs to lose every time in the Champions Cup. We haven't been speaking about them like that this year. But I think they could be it's a different mentality from this year. There's a little bit less pressure. They haven't been hitting the highs of previously. And, they could surprise a few people. Mm. There's still a lot of good players there. And I think that was a great boost from last week. And Dara would probably agree. We didn't see that one coming. I thought it'd be a lot closer and probably would have fancied Ulster to win the game. But that performance and that energy and particularly those first 50 minutes, Leinster were excellent. They looked like they had a real intensity to their performance. Yeah. And if they can get that within the squad, it's very, very beneficial no matter who's playing.
Yeah, where does it put Leinster at all, Dara? Because like we discussed there, Quinny mentioned last Friday, was the 12 changes from the previous week in Europe. And they go and do that up in Ulster. It'll be interesting to see what team they play tomorrow. It's not named yet, but Caelan Dorris, Josh van der Veer, Andrew Porter, all reportedly available for selection. And then it could be completely different again next week. I'm just looking ahead, thinking if they do lose to Toulon, if they're not there in the Champions Cup semi-final, does that discussion come up against whatever about the underachievement of this side? Is it about the fact that the strongest team don't necessarily know each other that well?
Yeah, that's always been the thing. It's just one of those things we won't know about until it happens. I think one thing that may be a little bit different this season, and that, I think that Ulster game is actually has been really important to the overall season, is that you have some players there now that are considered to be in the second string team that are actually putting their hands up to get at least into the 23 on the day against Toulon. Mm-hmm. And if they make it through that game in the final, you think about a guy like James Culhane, Scott Penny, these guys that are coming through that are, you know, have been touted for a long time as top players, but are really, really starting to get confidence and fit into that system really well. Like, is Sam Prendergast back in the conversation to play in that 23 in Europe? Because he was absolutely excellent against Ulster. I think he got a lot of confidence back off the back of that result. Look, they do have their own injury issues though as well. The loose head situation is still very much a concern for them. So it's not all rosy there just yet. But like, yeah, I think the semi-final against Toulon, not that Toulon aren't a great team, but they're not having a great season in their league. I believe they're 10th at the minute. They do have some great players, some really top international players, but not a team that's at their very best. So I would see them getting through that semi-final, but then I can only assume Bordeaux will be in the final. Bath are a great team, but Bordeaux are, I think they're an all-time great club team, and I don't see anyone beating them right now. But, you know, if Leinster manage to get through the next couple of games with flying colours, I would like to see more internationals play this weekend against Benetton. I know there's a thing of managing injuries and managing fitness as well off the back of the Six Nations, but I would just like to see a real comprehensive, cohesive performance from all of them. But yeah.
And finally, Connacht, they go to the Lions. We don't have that team yet. That's 3 o'clock tomorrow. They're ninth in the URC at the moment. Out of the four provinces, Dara, what's your order of finish here in the URC?
It's a mad situation. The Ulster are... You wouldn't have thought just even a few weeks ago they would be in the conversation to not make the top eight, and now they're very much almost a lot of people's favourites to not make it. I think all four provinces will make it. I think Connacht are on a really good run of form now. They have a lot of confidence. A lot of the players have talked about how much they love playing in Lancaster system now, so I see them making it. Leinster will obviously make it. I think Munster will get the win this weekend, and that'll go a long way. And yeah, I think Ulster just need to pull out maybe one win and a bonus point out of the next three games, which is certainly not a given, but yeah. I think there's enough character in that group to manage to do it.
How do you assess Connacht's season to date, Quinny, in that it feels so positive in the new year under Stuart Lancaster, but they are outside the top eight?
Yeah, it just goes to show that can change so quickly. Case in point is Ulster, you know, all the positivity, and it could unravel a little bit for them. And you need a little bit of luck with your squad and your profile of your players available. I think Connacht were very inconsistent again and losing lots of games. A lot of unlucky losses, and we've spoken a lot about that in the last few years. But there seems to be a little bit of an imprint away of what Stuart Lancaster is trying to do, and the pace and the accuracy and the execution of some of the tries they're scoring. And it's that time of year when you're getting drier grounds and you're not... they're getting a bounce from basically his coach, and I think, and their players are playing with a real... What really impressed me last week was not just the tries they scored, but just the speed of movement around the field, the urgency... And there's a real good intensity about what they're trying to do all the time. So it's very difficult to get the ball back off them. And I think, again, there's probably a few question marks at times about defensively. And if they can tidy that up, they can get results in the next few weeks. It's a really difficult one against the Lions tomorrow to go and back up a second win in South Africa. But it's doable and it's achievable. And you, out of the two games, pre the two South African games, you would have said, well, the Lions one is probably their best chance of getting a result. So, yeah, I think they have a great chance, and they're playing full of confidence, and their things are starting to click for them, and you know, they're in a really good place at the moment and full of confidence.
All right. Very well set up for this weekend. Quinny, thanks a mil.
Cheers, Colin.
Dara, enjoy Clermont, or should I say France's Liverpool, known for its vibrant music scene and over 800 artistic groups. It is sometimes nicknamed after the famous English music city.
Very good. One thing I wanted to mention, actually, Linda Dugang actually will be very important this week, because she used to play in Clermont. She spoke about her time here during the week, and that it'll be... a tough weekend for her in terms of she'll be the designated tour guide amongst the team, so she's not looking forward to that. But yeah, very much looking forward to getting to that stadium, as Quinny said, an absolute cauldron, I've heard.
Enjoy. All the best.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, lads.
Darragh Smith, nothing live from Claremont, ahead of Ireland's Women's Six Nations bout against France tomorrow, 10 past 8 Irish time kickoff, and the URC. It all happens tomorrow from the Irish perspective. Among the provinces, up first is Connacht there in South Africa to play the Lions, 3 p.m. start. Then you have your Interpro Derby. Down south you have Munster against Ulster at 5:30, and then 7:45 tomorrow night, Benetton against Leinster. So we're back soon. In the meantime, with Braeburn Coffee's new oat range, enjoy an oat matcha, hot chocolate or mocha, available now at select locations. Make it official with Braeburn Coffee. Amazingly easy. We'll return to Keith Friday imminently. Here's Scott Beaman first, the Ireland head coach, speaking ahead of that French clash. Stay tuned.
It's not about revenge. It's the next game. And where we are in our cycle is this is our next opportunity to get our next best performance out there. We've got a great squad that's starting to ask better questions now of selection. We've left some really, really talented players out of the 23. So where we are, how we're going, we're tracking in the right direction. I've already highlighted going away to France. Took England 8 years to get a win over in France. There's an 8-year gap. So they're a tough prospect there. But you know, these are the occasions, these are the games that like excite us. As a group, as a nation, that's why we're all talking about it, isn't it? Because we went close in a World Cup, the game that could have, should have, would have. Well, we'd gone close the Six Nations before that, so we want to go there. We want to focus on us. We want to get our best game out there, and we have belief in our best game. So it's fantastic that we've got a group that walks around now maybe slightly more confidently. I'm delighted that people notice that about our group. They're going to keep getting better. Like whatever happens this weekend, they're going to keep getting better. So this is just our next opportunity, and we can't wait to get over there and get ripping into this game.
That's Scott Beaman, Ireland's head coach, speaking ahead of the France game in the Women's Six Nations tomorrow night, 8:10 Irish time.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.